May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you at all times and all ways, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The last few days, I was in Indianapolis, Indiana, where it was zero. And I was attending a conference called FORMA 2019, Formed to Proclaim. FORMA is a network within the Episcopal Church comprised of lay and ordained people whose ministries are in the area of Christian formation for children, for youth, and for adults. The topic of this year's conference was Conversations on Liturgy and Evangelism. And so, for 3 days, that's what we talked about. At the opening service at Christ Church Cathedral, Dr. Catherine Meeks, a lay theologian, activist, and executive director of the Absalom Jones Center for Racial Healing, was our preacher. Hers is a prophetic voice that calls the church into sacred work of dismantling racism, ending oppression, and giving voice to the marginalized. Dr. Meek's words so resonated with me as I delved into today's readings. We, she proclaimed, are all called by God to be in relationship and to serve. But sometimes, she said, the world can be overwhelming, and we don't know what to do or where to start, and we can lose hope. But each of us has something to offer to the world. And so she offered this advice. In those moments when you're feeling unsure of what to do or how, be just a little braver. Be just a little bolder. I liked that, this being just a little braver, just a little bolder in our faith. This morning in Luke's gospel, we get a bit of the bolder, braver Jesus. Let's quickly recap the story. Jesus has come to Nazareth and has come to the synagogue to worship. Luke tells us that Jesus stood to read, was handed the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, unrolled it, located the verse, and then read them aloud. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Jesus then rolled it up, returned it, and sat down. Everyone set their eyes upon him, and then he began to interpret the scripture. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. It's his first sermon in his hometown. One sentence, spoken and allowed to settle in. And it's powerful. Scripture has been fulfilled today, now, in the present. He doesn't say it's been fulfilled in the past, and he doesn't say it will be fulfilled in the future. He says, today. Over the last few Sundays, we have heard from Luke that Jesus was baptized by the Holy Spirit, and then we heard of his first act, the miracle at Cana, in which he began his ministry and used his gifts to transform water into wine, bringing out of nothing abundance. And now, filled with the power of the Spirit, he's returned home. and come to worship with and teach them to interpret God's word. But something is different. Not only does Jesus boldly proclaim the scripture, he also claims it personally. With one statement, in one moment, Jesus takes ancient, beloved scripture and he makes it new. Right there, right then, right now. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. But what does that mean? So, how does the scripture sound to you? What do you hear? Did you hear Jesus share historic scripture in which Isaiah foretells the coming of the good news that will bring release and hope and freedom and more? Did you hear Jesus speaking in the first person when he read, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me. He has sent me." Maybe you sense that this scripture speaks to a mysterious moment in which God speaks to the coming of God's self in Jesus as human and proclaims the acts that God will do to aid the poor and the captive, the blind and the oppressed. What did you hear? And the poor, the captive, the blind and the oppressed. Who are these? We recognize that there are many people who are poor, refugees who are captive, some who are blind, and whole segments of society who suffer oppression. It's not uncommon to think of these as the other and not ourselves. But what about us? If we shift from a literal interpretation to an experiential one, recalling some of the words of Jesus from the Beatitudes, we might ask ourselves, who among us is poor in spirit? Which of us hungers to hear the good news and to receive hope? Have we been held captive by the constraints and demands of the world? Or have we found ourselves lacking an ability to see things clearly, whether it be another's point of view or something that is right in front of us? And who among us has not experienced at some time in our lives being made to feel less than, of being disregarded, rejected, or pushed down in some way? I know that I have experienced many of these. Maybe you have too. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. I wonder, what if all this is not just for the other, but also for us, right here and right now? Jesus has come into the world to bring hope, release, sight, and freedom. Not only to do that, but he has come to model this for us as an example of how we are called to live out our lives of faith in the world. So how do we respond? Just last week, several of the St. Francis youth participated in a youth service weekend that focused upon homelessness. Now, serving the homeless is nothing new for St. Francis, because every other month, a dedicated, faithful, yet often unseen group of parishioners who feel called to serve the homeless volunteer for the St. Luke's Homeless Breakfast. Our youth have consistently lent support for this vital ministry by gathering together to boil over 400 eggs for the breakfast, what we call the Great Egg Boil. On this particular weekend, though, our youth were invited into a deeper experience of service. It began with a photo reflection activity. Laid out before them on a table were several black and white photos of homeless people taken from a Smithsonian photo exhibit. They were asked to examine them closely, to look deeply. The invitation to them was to wonder, to imagine, to speculate about who they were and what their stories might be. And some of their wonderings included, how did they become homeless? Where do they live? What is their life like? There was an observation that if they hadn't been told that these people were homeless, no one would have known, because they didn't look homeless. But what does homelessness look like? This led to a discussion around the stereotypes that surround the homeless and an opportunity to acknowledge our own assumptions and to think about what happens when our assumptions about people become our reality. As the youth prepared to join St. Francis Adult Volunteers in serving at the St. Luke's breakfast on Saturday morning, the invitation to them was to do their best to let go of those assumptions and to step intentionally into wondering, into a place where they could be willing to get to know someone's story, to risk being in relationship. And so our youth, with 20 others from St. Cross in Hermosa Beach and St. Luke's in Long Beach, helped to serve and then took time as a group to discuss and to share and to reflect and to journal about their experiences. If you would like to know more about this, I encourage you to ask our youth or our adult volunteers to share their stories with you. This ministry is just one way that we at St. Francis extend love to the poor and give some release to those held captive by homelessness. In our baptismal covenant, we promise to honor the dignity of every human being. We begin right here, right where we are, and as Dr. Meeks says, we can start by just being a little braver, a little bolder. Now, since the time of the early church, one of the challenges in being a Christian community is how to function as community. Paul makes clear in today's reading from 1 Corinthians that we are all in it together, and that what matters is unity. Unity with God, unity with one another, and unity with the world. Paul likens the church to a body comprised of many parts, all equally necessary and integral to its functioning and its integrity. No part is greater than another, and all must work together. It is in the collective, in the unity of all parts, that wholeness occurs. And within our family of faith here at St. Francis, it is the same. Together, in unity, we may become the community of believers that God has called us to be. A community in which all are welcome, in which we each play a part, and in which through the sharing of our gifts and talents, our presence, our prayers, and our service, we are made whole. Jesus is with us today, and he has invited you and me to join him in proclaiming the love of God to the world, to being an integral part of the whole of the kingdom of God. And so please take out your bulletin. Open it to today's gospel, please. It's the part of the reading that begins with the Spirit of the Lord and ends with the year of the Lord's favor. I invite each of you right now to raise your voices and join me in claiming our place in God's kingdom by boldly proclaiming God's word aloud, making it your own. This is the word of God spoken by Jesus, and it is the word to be actualized on earth by you and me. So are you ready? Okay, so let's do it together. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. My brothers and sisters in Christ, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. May the Spirit of the Lord be upon you and anoint you always, for you are indeed called to be the body of Christ in the world. And the people say, Amen.